Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
The New Testament contains instructions about giving and the Christian's worship in particular. The Christian has always recognized and should recognize that giving is a part of the worship. It has always been so that giving to God has been a part of man's acceptable worship to Him. It was that way in the patriarchal age. The very first example of worship we have is a giving act of worship, where the lamb, the firstborn of the flock, the unblemished lamb, was offered to God, the very best that Cain and Abel had were to be offered. And you know that, of course, Cain did not offer acceptably, but Abel did. And God accepted his offering. And from that time on, even until this, worship has been acceptable to God when it's given in the right attitude and the right way. But giving of means, giving of our blessings, giving the things that God has given us, has always been an act of worship, and is still so today. Mosaical age, the Christian age. The New Testament Christian must give in keeping with the New Testament. That's what makes him a Christian. That's what makes him a New Testament Christian. He follows the New Testament. He taught us not to follow the Old Testament in the sense that he keeps those laws or those acts of reverence paid and the instructions given there, but rather he follows the New Testament. Giving acceptably is dependent then upon giving according to the New Testament. We can meet this year's budget without any trouble if each of us will give as God directs. I believe that Christians will give when they know how they ought to give and they know God and trust in His promises. The problem is, generally speaking, in many cases, that Christians do not know how to give. I think that's true in some cases. Or that they have not determined that God really will give what He promises. They do not trust Him adequately, or they would give correctly. In keeping with those two thoughts, I want to talk with you today in the moments that we have left together, and they're going to be brief. I want to talk with you about some things which have to do with the instructions that God has given us with regard to giving in the New Testament. Every one of us should be interested. Excuse me. Every one of us should be interested in knowing how to worship God correctly. And giving is a very, very important and integral part of worship. So let us think today about worshiping God and giving. The first thing I want to notice is some negative things. That is, that there are some things that the Bible teaches that about giving that are negative. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, for instance, we notice that Jesus says that a man is not to give for his own glory. If a man gives for his own glory, for his own reward, for what he profits from it, from the good that he's going to get out of it, in the sense that others are going to say, oh, look how much he can give, how wonderful a dedicated person that person is, then verily he's received his reward. It profits him nothing. Jesus put it this way, take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else ye have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. When therefore thou doest alms, in other words, give, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. Now, I think this has been misinterpreted in many cases, but one thing it does say in the context, that we are not to give to be seen of men. That what we give is to be given to God, and not for the glory that can come from the recognition of men. The next negative thing we notice is that it should not be of necessity. That is, that one ought not to give out of a begrudging heart. As you look at the 2 Corinthians letter, in chapter 9, verse 5 and also verse 7, Paul says, I thought it necessary, therefore, to entreat the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your aforepromised bounty, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of extortion. And then he says in verse 7, let each man give according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Now the words there are interesting. They come from the background of covetousness. He says, do not give out of necessity, or the third negative is out of a begrudging attitude. One suggests that this also could be translated, do not give out of sorrow. In other words, every time you reach in your pocketbook, you know, or you write that check, if your soul goes, I hate to give that up, then you're giving improperly. Oh, I sure do hate to leave that with the Lord today. I could sure use it. That kind of thing. If that's your attitude, then it will not be acceptable to God. And so it cannot be to receive the reward of men. And it cannot be out of a necessity in the sense that I feel an obligation to give and I'm just going to give out of a total and sole obligation rather than of a desire to give out of a cheerful heart. And of course, that's the modifying thing here, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so it must not be out of sorrow. It must not be out of a heart of covetousness. That's what the begrudging word idea means. Out of a heart or the center of a covetous attitude, a tight-fisted, greedy attitude. If I give out of that kind of attitude, squeaking all the way as I put it in, you know, being so tight, then it will not be acceptable to God. Now, do you want to give right? Then you must be concerned about those three negatives. Not to be seen of men, not of necessity, and not with a begrudging heart and attitude. Now let's look at some positive things the Bible says about giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2, Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do ye. It was a matter of order to the churches, not just to Corinth, but to Galatia and other places. It's a matter of order to us as well. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as you may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. Now notice there are several things that fit here in the positive category. Giving must be, to be acceptable to God, must be regular. We must give on the first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him a store. They will understand that in the same way that the Sabbath day meant every Sabbath day, to keep the Sabbath day holy. Likewise, it means every first day. Upon the first day, which first day? On the first day of the month? No. Upon the first day of the week. Which week? The first week? No. Every week. Obviously, it's every week. And so it says, upon the first day of the week. That ought to be a regular thing. Now, brethren, you cannot have a program of work unless you have regularity in giving. And so that's why, from time to time, I've mentioned from this pulpit and also in bulletin articles, that if you're a member of this congregation, the Lord expects you to support this congregation regularly. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, in the treasury. And that Corinthian treasury is the treasury that they were to lay up in, not the one at Galatia. Or not the one down at Podunk Holler someplace. But the one at Corinth. That's where it was to be laid up. Now, when you go down to Florida in the wintertime, it's fine if you want to help their program of work. But, brethren, that won't help our program of work. That won't lay up in our treasury to be done what needs to be done here. And so if you're going to be gone, you need to make sure that your contribution is just as regular when you're not here as it is when you're here. And so it ought to be regular to be acceptable to God. And notice also it ought to be individual. Let each one of you lay by in store. I heard a little story the other day about a lady who went in to cash her Social Security check. It was $55. And she said, the lady asked her at the cashier's window, well, how would you like the money? And she said, it doesn't make any difference as long as I have a $5 bill and a 50-cent piece. She was a little curious and she said, why is that? She said, because that's the Lord's part. And I want to make sure I have that to put in. Now, it ought to be an individual thing. No matter how much you make, you need to give of what you make. Let each one of you lay by him in store. Now, notice also that it's to be proportionate. Let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper. It ought to be in keeping with what we earn. In other words, how the Lord prospers us. It has to be some percentage then. Now, if you want to quibble about gross, net, before taxes, after taxes, brethren, I don't know about you, but I believe the Lord blessed us before we were taxed. I don't believe that, that I know for a fact that he never did count any of that business in the law of Moses. If you're prospered, then you ought to give in keeping with your prosperity. And that means a certain percentage. Now, what percentage? Well, the New Testament doesn't tell us what percentage. But it does give us some adjectives. He says, bountifully. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. And verse 5. Verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That means then that we're to sow bountifully, that we're to give bountifully. Now, how much is that? I tell you what, I do not feel comfortable with less than 10%. I don't feel comfortable with it. Now, that's my personal taste. But in my study of the Word of God, the Jews gave 30-something percent. They gave 10% off the top. And then they gave the corners of the field, and then they gave to the poor, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. And they required about 30%. But I know for a fact they were required 10 off the top. And the Lord said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And to me, I can't be as righteous or exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees unless I at least have more interest in than they did in the Lord's work. I can't imagine a Jew on the day of Pentecost. The Lord has saved me and forgiven me of sin, removed my sin, and so now I'm going to stop giving 10% and give 5. You believe that? Now you say, well, brother, you ought not to bind 10%. I'm not binding it on you. I'm suggesting some things that will help you to determine what percentage. You have to decide on the percentage. It's a matter of your decision, but you must decide on a percentage, proportionately. It ought to be bountiful, and it ought to be according with our ability. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according as a man hath, not according as he hath not. Some people say, well, I don't think that that you have to give a proportion. Well, what do you give? You give by accident? And that's the next thing. We ought to give purposefully. In order for it to be acceptable to God, our giving must be of a purpose. It must be purposefully. Did you know that God never has accepted an act of worship by accident? It's always been on purpose that He accepts an act of worship. If you just accidentally give Him one of your sheep, was it acceptable? Never has been. It's always been as a matter of purpose. And so if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart. Now, brethren, you can't give accidentally. I'm sure that there are a lot of Christians who give every week, but they give accidentally. In other words, they reach into their billfold. And if they got a dollar bill, that's what they give on the Lord's Day, If they got a $5 bill, they may take some change out. You ever see anybody take change? It ought not to be that way, brethren. It ought to be, you know, I never have known anybody's baptism to be acceptable if it's an accident. If they fell into the water and happened to go under, was it acceptable? Were their sins removed? No. Purpose. God has never accepted an accidental act of worship. He always demands that you purpose. And I urge you to go home today, if you have not done it yet, and talk with your spouse, and you determine from your income what amount proportionately that you're going to give, and that you determine to give that every Lord's Day. You say, well, brother, we've known that since we were knee-high to grasshoppers. Well, maybe you did, but you know what? It amazes me how many people in the Lord's church don't know that. I had one lady that was a member of the church in my class, and we were talking about giving regularly, and she said, I had never heard that you ought to give at your local congregation. I thought you could just give any place you wanted to. And I thought, well, I didn't know anybody didn't know that. But there are some that don't. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. So it must be a purpose. As you look through 2 Corinthians, if you look at chapter 9, verse 1 beginning, as far as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you, for I know your readiness, of which I glory on your behalf to them of Macedonia and that of Achaia, have been prepared for a year past, and your zeal has stirred up very many of them. They had prepared what they were going to give. They had determined what they were going to give. And he talks about an aforementioned bounty and a forepromised bounty, something that they had determined that they were going to give. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter, or in Acts chapter 11, each of the people there at Antioch determined to give according to their ability, each of the brethren. And they determined to do that. That's a purpose. Now, I had one lady one time argue with me. She said, well, Brother Doty, I'm afraid to purpose a certain amount because, you know, I might get laid off or something, and then the Lord would hold me accountable for paying that or giving that, and since I had promised Him or pledged that, then I couldn't give it. Well, I'd be breaking my vow to God. And I said, well, that's an easy cop-out, my friend. But you've forgotten to read your Bible. Because the Bible very plainly says, for if the readiness, if the willingness is there, it is acceptable according as a man hath, not according as he hath not. Obviously, if you have a setback, you need to adjust it. You are to give as you prosper. And that must be taken into account. But it must be a purpose thing. I urge you to plan your giving. That's the only acceptable kind. And also, it must be a willing thing. If your giving is according to readiness or willingness, it's acceptable to God. You know, a few years ago, it used to be the case that people, when they gave, would walk forward and lay it on the table. Did you know that? Or lay it on the stage or the pulpit stand. They'd have a basket or they'd have a little tray or a cigar box, some places used to have. A little box of some kind, and people would walk up and put their money in for the contribution. On one occasion, a well-known preacher was admonishing the congregation because there was a special need. And the people lined up to come and give, and at the end of the line was a little girl who was limping. Evidently, she had a problem with her leg. When she came forward to the table, she took off a ring off her finger and put it in the plate. At the close of the service, an usher was sent out to get the little girl to come into the preacher's study. She came in and he said, we really do appreciate your dedication. And the brethren have been so generous, though, that we saw what you did about taking the ring off. And we would rather you go ahead and take the ring back. And she said, mister, I didn't give that ring to you. I gave it to God. Now, we need to remember that. What we give is not giving to me or to the elders. It's giving to God. And it's an act of worship paid with reverence to God. Not just to this program, but it is an act of reverence paid, a willing gift. And also it should be a cheerful gift. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. We ought to give in a cheerful way. Someone has written this little poem about giving. Says, give as you would if an angel awaited your gift at the door. Give as you would if tomorrow found you where giving was o'er. Give as you would to the master if you met his loving look. Give as you would if your substance, if his hand your offering took. Remember, let us give cheerfully and willfully, and willingly rather, to God. Why? Quickly, because God gave and gives. God so loved the world that He gave. And every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, James 1 and 17. Jesus gave. One of the arguments that Paul makes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 is, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich." Jesus gave. We need to remember that when we think about our giving. And also Paul says, it's an example to other people, or we ought to give because of the example of other people, what others have done. The Macedonian Christians, he says, first gave themselves to the Lord, and then their contributions followed. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. We ought to give because of the dedicated giving of others, the examples that have been set before us in the Scriptures, and by other dedicated Christians that we've known of. We ought to give to prove our love, says Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, he says, "I speak not by way of commandment, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity also of your love." How sincere are you in your love for God? How sincere are you in your love for others, for the lost, for those who have need and those who have need of help? He says in verse 24 of the same chapter, "So you therefore unto them in the face of the churches the proof of your love and of our glory on your behalf." We ought to give because of our love, and also because of God's promises. God says, "I will, if you will reap, or if you will sow, I will provide a great reaping. If you will sow sparingly, then you'll reap sparingly." He says, "I'm able to provide exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think," he says through Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 to 10. And then also, our giving glorifies God. And I think this is most important. Maybe not the most important thing, but it is very important. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. "Ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us thanksgiving to God." Giving glorifies God. "For the ministration of this service not only filleth up the measure of the wants of the saints," that is, it meets the needs, "but it aboundeth also through many thanksgivings unto God." And listen to this. "Seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration, they glorify God for your obedience and your confession in the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution unto them and to all." We ought to give, then, because it glorifies God and results in great things, and great things said in God's name. Let's each determine to worship acceptably in our giving in 1980. How did you give in 1979? Are you proud of it? I don't mean proud in a haughty way. I mean simply, are you satisfied with your act of worship and giving? How are you going to do? Are you going to do better? I urge you to give regularly, individually, proportionately, purposefully, willingly, and cheerfully. Why should you give? Because God gave and gives great gifts unto us. Because Jesus gave. Because the example of others. To prove our love to God. That's what it amounts to. It's a proof of our love and trust in Him. Because of God's great promises of blessings. And because our giving glorifies God. Are you committed to the Lord? Are you a dedicated Christian? Paul said that the Macedonian Christians gave because they first gave themselves to God. And I fear in many cases that the reason in a negative way that many people do not give to God is because they have not given themselves. Brethren, this morning if you're here and you're not a Christian, I urge that you first give yourself to God. Then the material things that you have will be shared. The material things that He Himself has given you will be shared with Him.